I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now, you can go beyond imaging with 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Happy Sunday morning. It is June 8th, 2025, and this is the special session edition of the Sunday Take. It's a preview of tomorrow into Tuesday, likely, and maybe even longer. We will have all four legislative leaders on this morning. We'll start with the House at about 9:15. Speaker Lisa Damoth, Speaker Emeritus Melissa Hortman, and then at the bottom of the hour, Majority Leader Aaron Murphy and Minority Leader Mark Johnson will join the show. We'll try to break down some of the details of this special legislative session that starts tomorrow. If you have questions, comments, concerns, critiques, or complaints, text us at 651-461-9226. The deal was announced on Friday, and frankly, it felt Thursday night, and I talked to Vanita Friday morning. I said, people have gone very quiet, but I knew they met late into Thursday, and that sense that there was probably something imminent. One of the key components is going to be the bonding bill and the Senate Republican votes for it. But counting votes on all of these bills is going to be one of the key items to watch. It's not necessarily flashy or fun, but I think it will be a lively debate. And as you heard in the news, Melissa Hortman said if she is the only vote on immigrant health care to deny that to adults, undocumented adults, then she will make that vote. Those are the tough votes that many of these members are going to look at, they're going to talk about, they're going to consider. But this deal is signed by all four legislative leaders and Governor Tim Walz. And the real question is, bill by bill, do they really think they can get done in one day? The agreement says the special session must end by 7 a.m. Tuesday morning and finish in one legislative day. So that could mean an all-nighter. But by state law, the only people who can adjourn the legislature are the legislators. And if they don't get their work done, do they adjourn? There is much expectation that the legislature will likely come back later this year to deal with the federal budget implications to Minnesota. And so there could be some stuff on the back burner. But when the governor is the only one who can call a special session, you're giving the governor all that power and all that leverage. It's risky. So I know there's legislative issues that people believe they can bring back up in the future, but we'll see there. So in other news, it's a beautiful morning. If you have not been outside, go outside and breathe the fresh air. Listen to us on the Odyssey app. Stream us wherever you must. But this is why we live here, especially I want you to remember this morning in January. I will say, coming in this morning, I thought to myself, I want to get done with the show so I can get back out and enjoy this beautiful morning. So when we come back, we will have Lisa Damoth and Melissa Hortman with us together. We'll talk about how this deal came together. These two women really have been the architects of a tied house, how they move things forward, and what it might mean to the budget. And the biggest question, do they have the votes? I'm Blois Olson on News Talk 830 WCCO. This is the Sunday Take. We're back.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now you can go beyond imaging. With 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture. This Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at Prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Back on Sunday Take, I'm your host, Blois Olson. Thanks for joining us this morning on this special session version of the Sunday Take. Joining me now, Speaker Lisa Damith, Speaker Emerita, Melissa Hortman. I want to thank you both for joining me this morning. I know you guys have had some long weeks and some long days, and I know that the work is still not done and you're digging in today. So I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to update us on where things are. I'll start with you, Speaker Damith. How do you feel about this agreement that was reached Friday, and how does your caucus feel about trying to get this done tomorrow?
Well, good morning, Blois. Very good to talk with you. As far as how I feel about the special session, we have work that has to be done to finish up the state budget. As you know, we didn't get everything completed by the 19th, but we did finish a number of things. We had public safety and judiciary that was done, the agriculture bill, the veterans bill, housing bill, the state government bill. We still have a number of things to be done, but I'm very optimistic that we can finish up the work and get things done for the people of Minnesota.
Representative Hortman, one of the biggest issues is obviously ending healthcare coverage for immigrant and undocumented immigrants. You've said that if you have to be the only vote for it, for the deal to go through. But is this going to be a pretty animated debate? People in your caucus are pretty passionate about this. And do you think you can get it done in the time frame? Even if there's no amendments, won't it be spirited?
It will be a heartbreaking discussion. It's a heartbreaking policy measure. There are a lot of members of my caucus who know people who are receiving health care through Minnesota Care as undocumented people for whom the health care has been life-altering. People with cancer, people with really significant diabetes and other health problems where having access to medical care coverage has made a world of difference in their lives, and they're going to have to end up out, you know, on GoFundMes and things like that. We provide health care in Minnesota for three groups of people. We provide health care for people with disabilities. We provide health care for senior citizens, and we provide health care for people of lower income. And Minnesota Care is a program where people pay a portion of the cost of their health care. So these are folks that are lower income, and without this coverage, they didn't have any. So, yes, theoretically they can go out and buy it, but that's not realistic for most of them. And so it's going to be a fraught situation. You will definitely hear about that on the floor. You'll probably hear stories of individual people who will be really struggling with their health care after their health care ends on December 31st.
Leader Damuth, one of the things that is still not updated on the legislative website is the tax bill. This became pretty contentious. I know there had been new taxes proposed. There was some new revenue. Taxes are always kind of a hard no. You talked about it at the beginning of session that there wouldn't be any tax increases. When do you think that tax bill, A, will be posted? And then, B, do you have folks in your caucus who might vote for a tax increase?
The tax bill should be posted very soon. We're expecting that at any point in time. The issue of not raising taxes on Minnesotans was very important and continues to be very important. When you look at the spending and the increase of $10 billion on Minnesota families over the last 2 years, this was something that was very, very difficult for our caucus to do any type of tax increases. What I will say, though, is the makeup of the legislature, there's 101 Democrats and 100 Republicans clearly tied in the House of Representatives. There had to be compromises that were made. And that's what we did. Obviously, the tax bill and a number of the bills would not be written or are not currently written as they would be if Republicans were in charge. But taking into consideration the need to negotiate things, you will see a tax increase on cannabis. That is a tax increase. What you won't see are tax increases across the board that hit Minnesota families.
Representative Hortman, as you think about the time that you've given yourself to get this work done, the leaders have agreed to these deadlines, but members have not necessarily agreed to these deadlines. Do you really think getting it done in one day is possible? And is it going to create kind of a rush at the end and maybe, you know, maybe more time would give more thoughtful debate or visibility to some of these bills that people haven't seen yet?
Well, when you see kind of ongoing debate that's excessive on the floor, it's usually when one party is in the majority, the other party is in the minority, and it's the minority that talks the most because they're deeply unhappy with the direction that the majority has chosen to go. When you have a majority party and they don't need to compromise with the minority to pass laws, that's where you get that friction that causes the long floor sessions. I think people are ready to be done. You know, our members of the work groups have brought the information to the public through public hearings, and we will definitely be talking about the content of each of the bills on the floor in depth before we pass them. But we can certainly do this in 24 hours. It's the kind of thing that has happened before. The chief clerk sent the speaker and I the script for the day, and he noted this was the 9th special session that he and I have done together. So special sessions just aren't that special anymore. When we have divided government, we typically have a special session to pass the budget, and they are typically one day long.
But there's 11 bills for the budget and a 12th bill for bonding. Speaker Damuth, that's got to all originate in the House. I know there's a script. I know there's timing. But it would seem to me that given the last couple of weeks, forgive me for questioning, are you really confident that all these bills have the votes to pass?
I do believe that the votes have, or the bills have the votes that are needed to pass in both bodies. Again, compromise has been made in both chambers. Looking at the closely divided legislature, will all of the bills that are going to be moving forward in the House pass with 134 votes? No, I don't think they will. We have seen that in other areas where we've passed something unanimously. I don't think that would be the case here, but we do have the votes to pass the bill.
Leader Hortman, you've been through a few of these, as you mentioned, 9th special session. This one, obviously, with the tie in the House is unique for very many reasons. How do you reconcile the negotiations of the last few weeks that there are major policy elements in these bills that maybe never even had a hearing that kind of emerged from, you know, the back room of people negotiating? Has the legislative process become too opaque to the public?
Yeah, certainly I think that that's not something we want to happen. We encouraged our members to participate in these working groups in public hearings as though they were a conference committee. And when people are in a conference committee, we encourage them to have public meetings and exchange offers in public. I think you saw a lot of that in the text committee. They were doing it right, I think, where one member would make an offer, they would walk through the offer, they would talk about the different elements of the offer, and then they would vote on different portions of it. And that is how it should work. You know, I think Leader Davis and I have encouraged our members to do it. It's hard to make people have hearings like that. And then some people just function better or refuse to function publicly, and so bring those negotiations private. And to some extent, you need that. You need people to get behind closed doors and to develop some kind of a rapport so that they move faster than they would move if every single offer and every single discussion were in public.
Speaker Damuth, this is your first big role as speaker with the tie. What did you learn about Leader Hortman when you went through this process? Obviously, you guys have spent literally days and days and days together. How you think about the beginning of the session and now where we are today? What have you learned about Leader Hortman?
That's a great question, Blaise. Thank you for asking that. I think working together over the last 2 years, I myself as minority leader, and then when Speaker Hortman was the speaker, you know, we got to know each other as we were working through. I think we both agree, though, now going forward, even with the very rocky start that we had where the Democrats were not here for the first 23 days and then that delayed, you know, start and stop, I think we have come to a point that we can look at getting the work done for Minnesotans in a respectful way. We're definitely not going to agree and see eye to eye on everything, but the greater good of just trying to do the best thing we can for the state of Minnesota is what I believe drives both of us. We have that in common.
I know you've spent a lot of time with Speaker Damuth. You've known a lot of legislators. You've dealt with a lot of Republican leaders over the years. What have you learned about Speaker Damuth? And is there anything the public should know? Like, what are the inside jokes between you? If you guys had a day where you didn't have to talk about the legislature, could you, like, hang out for a day and do something? And what would it be, Leader Hortman?
Well, as Leader Damuth mentioned, this year got off to a rocky start. We're certainly not over it that they tried to kick out one of our members who won his election and unconstitutionally seized power until the Supreme Court ordered that they stop. But we do get along well. We have had a good working relationship. We have some of the same clothes or very similar clothes, so we do text each other to make sure we don't show up like twins. But we have very different perspectives about how state government should work. And we've been able to have a cordial relationship, even though we really disagree about how to run state government.
I want to just come back to you, Leader Hortman, because, you know, I watch this closer than most folks. But the narrative that you guys couldn't meet at the beginning, that just seems to be something that is just like the end of session, risk reward. I reported and I talked to six Republicans who would not have expelled Representative Tabke, but yet you didn't take that risk. And yet you keep this narrative going. Is it time to, like, set aside the talking points and acknowledge that you guys made a political decision at the beginning of this session that did not look good for Democrats in Minnesota?
Well, Blaise, I never bring it up unless Leader Damuth brings up that we weren't there, and then people need to know why, because it's pretty unprecedented that somebody would try to kick another member out. None of those Republicans were ever willing to say that publicly, Blaise, so we really couldn't take that to the bank. And I think you would see a very different budget if we didn't have the shared power structure that we do in the Minnesota House of Representatives. Certainly, you know, Kelly Moeller and Paul Novotny working together to put together a public safety bill looks very different than the kind of bill that Paul Novotny would have put together by himself. So I think the power struggle at the beginning was worth the fight, because now as partners here at the end, 67-67, it kind of greased the skids for everything to work much, much better at the end. I think
you saw kind of all-out war at the beginning of the session between Democrats and Republicans. And what it has led to is more of a partnership approach at the end.
Speaker Namath, there's going to be a lot of pressure on some of your members not to vote for the tax bill. And yet you need the majority of votes. Do you need 70 or do you just need 68 votes to pass any of these bills through the House tomorrow?
We need 68 votes to pass the bills, with the exception of bonding.
And are you confident you have the Republican votes on bonding?
I do believe that we have the Republican votes that are needed. The votes across the board in both caucuses will have enough votes to pass bonding.
Speaker Namath, Speaker Emeritus Horman, I really do want to thank you for joining us this morning. As you know, I feel it's important to kind of get as much out to the public as possible. Get as much sleep as you can today, because I know tomorrow's a long day, and I appreciate both of you for your public service.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Sunday Take. I'm Blois Olson. It's the special session preview of tomorrow's special session. There's still a lot of questions, and we'll dig down on the Senate side of the debate when we come back on News Talk 830 WCCO. We're back on the Sunday Take. Joining me now, and I want to thank them. I know they've had a few long days and weeks. Our Senate leaders, Majority Leader Aaron Murphy, Minority Leader Mark Johnson. I know they are still working. They have some work ahead of them in the next day. So thank you both for joining me on the Sunday Take.
Hey, good morning, boys. Good to hear you.
We'll start with you, Majority Leader Murphy. You've been a House member. You've been a Senate member, a Senate leader, a House leader. Can you kind of summarize what the last couple of weeks of negotiation have been like, both with the House, the governor, but also within your own caucus?
This is, and I've said this so many times, Blois, the most challenging session that I have been a part of in the 18 years that I have served in the Minnesota legislature. And I would describe the work that we have done together as both painstaking. There's been a lot of difference that we had to overcome, a lot of compromise, which comes with this work. And I will also add that we have been purposeful and methodical. And it's taken us a little longer because of that, but I think the results will be better for the people of Minnesota.
Minority Leader Johnson, you're the one leader that is in the minority, but you had some leverage. What do you look at from the session to the final deal of what you are going to come out of this session pointing to as an accomplishment that's good for Minnesota?
Well, I think one of the biggest things that we were concerned about, is the continued government growth and spending. You know, over the last 2 years, we did see Democrats spend that $18 billion budget surplus. We see government grow by 40%. And then again, this year, you know, we come to a spot where it gets to be a budget deficit. Looks like we have a $6 billion budget deficit in the out years. How do we address that without the impact being on our local communities, with our education system and all that, you know, and so making sure that we're doing that in a prudent manner. Now, we're pretty proud that we're able to make some cuts there in a way that were meaningful, but still there's a lot of work that needs to happen.
Majority Leader Murphy, one of the things is going to be bills that come over from the House. Leaders have agreed to no amendments. Are you confident that your members won't try to amend things or delay debate? And how confident are you that you can get done by 7 a.m. Tuesday morning?
I am confident that we will be done by 7 a.m., in part because we have been now in this effort for 6 months. And I think we all know that we're done, that the budget bills that we need to pass have been the work of many, many months, and while there are provisions in all of them that cause people consternation, it's our job, elected together, to move this budget. That's what we do when we are raising our hand and taking an oath, and we have to put a budget in place. So I think we understand the assignment. We're going to get it done.
Leader Johnson, you were part of the negotiations, and then you weren't part of the negotiations, and then late last week, you were invited back to the negotiations. The bonding bill is obviously a big part of that. You signed this agreement. You didn't sign the original agreement. What else did you get? What leverage? What did you use your final leverage to try to bring to your caucus and change this deal in any way?
Yeah, and so this is the deal that we signed wasn't on the larger budget bills themselves. So we have not committed to votes on the larger budget bills. What we have done is that we're gonna try to pass this bonding bill. And to your point about no amendments, I mean, we're going to have amendments. What we've done is we've limited the amendments that are going to be possible there as well, too. So we're going to talk a little bit about the process. That's where we had leverage in the bonding bill. And so those are the two areas where we got involved. And I would say that the negotiations went very well. And I want to give a shout out to Senators Housley and Rasmussen as well, too, on the work that they did on the bonding bill and making sure that we got to a spot where we feel really good about what it's going to do for all of Minnesota, not just rural Minnesota or Republican districts, but across the state. And so I think we did a really good bipartisan work on that bill.
Leader Murphy, one of the biggest issues of contention was the tax bill. Differences between Democrats, the Democratic leader in the House, Chair Gomez, and Democratic tax chair in the Senate, Ann Rest. The tax bill still hasn't been posted. Are you confident that you can get the votes to raise taxes in the Senate?
You know, as I've mentioned already, Blois, it is important for us to put the state's budget in place, and our caucus is committed to that. I think you're going to see tomorrow a long day, a lot of debate. I always think about the legislature as a group project. And group projects always have a person or two, or maybe more than that, that step away from the work, decide not to participate in the work, or make the work harder. We'll probably see some of that tomorrow, both sides, both chambers. But I understand, as do the other leaders, that principle to our work is to fund our government, and none of us want a government shutdown. And I think that will propel us, that plus our commitment to the people of Minnesota, to get this done.
Leader Johnson, how contentious do you think tomorrow through Tuesday will be? And I ask that in the context of, I will give you both a lot of credit. This session has gone smoothly. You two have worked well together, at least publicly, you know, after the way last session ended. You've kind of smoothed things over. The Senate has behaved this year, I'll just say. Are you confident that tomorrow will be smooth, that the decorum will be what it's been all session, or are we going to see kind of another raucous caucus?
Well, somebody described it the other day, and I thought it was a pretty good description. These special sessions are fragile like a hand grenade. You never know what's going to set them off. But, you know, I'm hoping that we can get through it tomorrow really in a smooth manner. Yes, I would say that Leader Murphy and I have worked really well together this year and built up a degree of professional trust here in a way that hopefully we'll carry in tomorrow. As we're going to come up a bunch of probably issues that will pop up. But I'm pretty confident we can work through those, and I'm looking forward to the day.
It's a little inside baseball, but I think, you know, listeners deserve Majority Leader Murphy to understand that within your caucus, there are, like any caucus, a lot of personalities. But, you know, the Blue Dogs have come out as their own group. You have the Posse Caucus within the Senate. I've often described this session as there might be three different Senate caucuses at any given moment. Do you think you can keep the caucus together? And do you have commitments from members that they will show up tomorrow, or could this go into Wednesday, Thursday? Because you're going to need enough votes to adjourn, and they might do something in protest.
I love that question. We're grown-ups in the Senate, in the legislature, in the House as well. And it is our responsibility now to put a budget in place and fund the government. So, yes, we have a caucus that represents different perspectives. I don't think that's unusual. And, yes, at times that makes us a caucus that is, you know, in some conflicts with each other. But that doesn't mean we're not coming to the work prepared to achieve our objective, to fund the government, put a budget in place. And that's what we're going to do.
You know, I'm going to stick with you, Leader Murphy, because you said legislators are grown-ups, and they are certainly all adults. But last year, Senator Fateh disappeared, and that delayed things. And I know that that is in the past. But those of us who watched and experienced that and saw that, I still get a lot of questions about it. Is that grown-up behavior? And are all your caucus members willing to do that? Because, look, some of the caucus Democrats were, you know, banging in protest on the governor's door. And I think that's what the public sees. What do you want the public to know about how you as a leader can make sure or try to keep the folks civil and committed to ending this deal?
There's a lot of personal emotion in this work, and I, especially for Minnesotans and listeners, you know, politicians often get, you know, a bad rap. People think about us as making deals and making trades and making transactions to get the work done. And inside of our work are individuals with deep commitments to people and to the issues that they're working on. I will tell you that the issue of eliminating health care coverage for undocumented Minnesotans, the people who live in our communities, work alongside us, pay their taxes, is deeply painful. And it did elicit a strong reaction on the part of members of both the House and the Senate. And I understand why. It is a very, very personal and painful issue. It's a major disappointment for many of our members, but they come back to work every day. They understand what our assignment is. They know that we have to move a budget, and that's what we're going to do.
Leader Johnson, Governor Walz, obviously critical to make this deal come together. Last weekend he was gone Sunday, and he was even gone Monday. Do you feel like he's been engaged to the level of what you would expect from a governor?
Well, I will say, you know, starting out the session, we had House Democrats leave for 23 days. And that does set back the work quite a bit. And so we were dealing with that. The Senate worked very well. We started off with that power sharing agreement and worked forward with that. And then towards the end of session now, when the governor is out of town, while he was in the meetings, he was, you know, when I was there early on for the beginning of negotiations, he was there. But then when it got to be a pretty critical time, he stepped out. I think more importantly, just the rhetoric that he uses on the road a lot. That's difficult, you know, to come and sit in the same room and know that he just said, we got to bully Republicans. We got to stand up to them more and do this sort of thing. And then you get back in the room the next day and say, well, how can we work together? You know, it's really, to me, that's very, that hurts negotiations, especially at such a critical time. So I just want to move forward with that, but I wish the governor's rhetoric was less about how do we, you know, work over Republicans and more about how do we work together. So that was one that really bothers me quite a bit.
Leader Murphy, you've been one who talked about the politics of joy last weekend. Governor Walz said maybe Democrats have to be meaner. You are not a mean person. I've known you for nearly 30 years. How do you kind of keep your chin up in this dialogue, and what do you think the governor did well and could have done better in this negotiation?
So, you know, we've been at this now for many, many months, and the governor has been very, very present in the negotiations, very available certainly to me and to our members. But he's been in all of this negotiation over the budget and has been for many, many months now. So he's a key participant, and so is the administration. I'm always busy trying to remind everybody that the legislative branch is a separate branch of government and that we have to find our path together. And I am, you're right, I am a joyful warrior because I really believe in what we're able to accomplish together for people. And we're leading in a time right now that is chaotic. It's full of uncertainty. And what we're experiencing coming from Washington, D.C., and I'm thinking a lot about California right now, this morning, is in many ways unprecedented. And in that unprecedented uncertainty and the chaos and accusations of corruption, I think have made everybody's anxiety and their concern heightened, which has added to the difficulty of getting to this budget. And I have a really appreciated working with Leader Johnson. We do have professional trust. I think we have an easy relationship. I think we have shown our caucuses how we can do our work together. And that has spilled into a lot of the work across the legislature. So there are Democrats and Republicans in both bodies working on these bills. And the result of that will be a lot of compromise. Some would say it is bipartisanship, and it is. But there's a lot of compromise that is hard fought. And I think that serves Minnesotans, and I hope that the balance of the legislature now in these next 36 hours see that and move it for the people of Minnesota.
Just as we wrap here, I know you guys have a couple long hours and days ahead, so I want to thank you both for your public service, your availability to talk about the deal this morning. And on a lighter note, what's one thing you've learned about each other through this process that you laugh about or you joke about when you're in tense moments? I'll let you go first, Leader Johnson.
Oh, well, so one of the things that Leader Murphy and I do every Wednesday morning is go for a walk in an undisclosed location.
Noted.
And just talk about the week and the day and what we're going to be doing. But Winnie, her dog Winnie, always comes up, and what a pride and joy Winnie is. And so I got to meet her, and that was kind of a highlight in our relationship, get to know her a little bit more on that personal level.
For you, Leader Murphy?
I've got to know Leader Johnson in so many ways. We both like coffee. And I got to know his kids a little bit because they were here for a week, mid-session, and they are lovely. And it has been good to get to know his family a little bit, and I hope...
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
What if you could see what's happening inside your body? Prenuvo's whole body scan screens for hundreds of conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one, all in under an hour. And now you can go beyond imaging. With 80-plus blood biomarkers that help complete the picture, this Labor Day, save $300 off your scan when you book at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Save $300 now through September 8th at Prenuvo.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
We can continue. And the last thing I'll say is we have a not secret anymore joke about hot dishes that I hope continues.
I want to thank you both. Get some rest, whatever you can today. And I know we'll talk down the line. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thanks, boys.
You're listening to Sunday Take and the special session preview edition of Sunday Take. When we come back, this week's take, they're going to work hard for the next 36 hours. They might or might not get all their work done. But the real fight is in 2026. That on the Sunday Take on News Talk 830 WCCO. We're back. I'm guessing sometimes this legislative agreement with the governor felt like a million miles away and at times seemed impossible. And I come into this week's take with a lot of perspective, not just about the session that has been and tomorrow, but really about the votes that are taken tomorrow. Are votes that you're going to hear about and see about and we're going to talk about for the next year. And the reason is because 2026, all 201 legislators are on the ballot. We have a governor's race. And as I say to people who ask regularly, governor's races are different. It is really one of those places and topics that does impact our state very directly. And it's one of the reasons why I've already started planning our 2026 coverage with these 201 races for the legislature. Then you have a governor's race, you have a U.S. Senate race. But the votes that are taken tomorrow are going to be direct mail pieces on both sides. Some people are going to take credit for shrinking the size of state government. Some people are going to be criticized for raising taxes. Some people are going to talk about education funding. Some people are going to talk about health care. And while there are 201 legislative races, there's 10 or 15 House races and 6 to 12 Senate races next year that will decide the majority of each body. Odds are it won't be a tie in the House, and odds are that the Senate will be a 1-3 seat swing one way or the other. But we've gone through the last year and a half, 2 years, with this trifecta mentality and a more bold partisanship in Minnesota. Last weekend, Governor Walz's comments about maybe Democrats have to be meaner is deeply in contrast with the national profile when he was named Kamala Harris's running mate, that he was emblematic of the politics of joy. He even talked about it. So as listeners to this show, as the public, you know, stay engaged. Ask tough questions at the door when they come door knock. Keep participating, because next year, hopefully, we'll have a vibrant, positive, engaging debate about Minnesota in 201 legislative races and all the constitutional officers. But ultimately, remember that they didn't get their work done. They made the deal behind closed doors, and we still don't know or had a proper public debate about what's in the final agreement. Next year matters as much, if not more, than tomorrow. I'm Blois Olson. I'll be with Vanita at 6:20 tomorrow. Catch all of our stuff at thedailyagenda.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Data centers move fast. Graybar delivers the power, connectivity, and critical infrastructure you need with nationwide inventory and logistics to keep projects moving. Yep, Graybar does that.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com. An Autodesk company.